Good morning, church. We are continuing in the book of Mark, and today I'll be reading for us Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." So we've been in Mark 9 for the past week or so, and I gotta say, it's almost comical how much the disciples just completely miss what Jesus says to him in this chapter. We see Jesus transfigure and call forth Elijah and Moses, people that have been gone for hundreds of years, and yet the disciples immediately question what Jesus meant by being raised from the dead. We see Jesus check up on his disciples to see how they're ministering to the people around them, only to find them too busy arguing with scribes to actually minister properly. And we see Jesus teach his disciples about humility and servitude, only for them to devolve into this contest of who is the greatest among them. And in the middle of Jesus' lesson to the disciples on serving others and doing works in his name, today we see John pipe up and say, "Well, Jesus, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." I feel like you could almost hear Jesus' face palm as John so clearly doesn't understand the very thing being taught to him. For the disciples, it seems that the kingdom of heaven was still this VIP club that they were lucky enough to get access to, and something that they should let as few people in as possible, or else they'd have to split the reward and the glory. That's why they're so caught up in being the greatest and getting recognition from Jesus, and being greedy regarding their own position close to Christ. In their minds, they were still in it for the reward. Something the disciples got so wrong, and something that we actually also get wrong today, is that we make the kingdom about our positions and our performance, and the reward that comes with these positions and performance. You know, for instance, we might serve in the church, but we make sure to get the acknowledgement and the titles that we deserve. We might bless our family group or our microchurch with some baked goods, but we exult in the appreciation and the praise that we get for it. In a similar way, the disciples probably joyfully served by Jesus' side, genuinely, but all the while really cherishing the acclaim and the influence that they gained because of it. And it's because of this that Jesus corrects them in today's passage. Jesus presents two truths about the kingdom of heaven that change what it really means to serve him. He shows us that the kingdom is open, but also that the kingdom is exclusive. Firstly, Jesus shows us that the kingdom is open. When John sort of boasts to Jesus that he stopped someone for not being part of the disciples, even though he was doing Christ's work, Jesus makes sure that John knows that this was a mistake. To John and the disciples, this person posed a threat. He had been casting out demons in Jesus' name, something that some of them couldn't even do a few passages back. He was doing what Jesus commanded him to do, but they were offended by the fact that he didn't have this membership in their clique. You know, to the disciples, this person was basically showing them up. But Jesus knows that the kingdom of heaven, it's not about reputation or performance. He knows that the ultimate goal of pursuing God is not just to become a great disciple for the sake of being known as a great disciple. It's to be in the will of God and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the salvation of mankind. And if that's the goal, it doesn't matter if Jesus' right-hand man does it, or if it's someone who was simply transformed and inspired by his example. You know, no title or prestige involved. For us, one way we often get this wrong is through comparison. You know, when I was serving at Northeastern as a family group leader, I remember Pastor Sean used to always tell us, all the leaders at the Fenway site, to stop comparing ourselves to one another and stop comparing what we're doing to what other groups and what other leaders were doing. And this was a big problem because even in our serving, we were so caught up on whether others were doing it better or whether we had secured our reputation in our serving or whether we were about to lose it because someone else was going to get all the glory. And this is such an ongoing battle in the Christian life, isn't it? You know, even when it's not in the context of serving or leading, we wonder whether we're measuring up and whether we're evaluated well when compared to other people. You know, when we're worshiping, we look around to see whether we're doing something weird. You know, when we pray, we compare the quality and the verbaciousness of our prayers to the others in our group. You know, Jesus tells us that it's so much simpler than that. If we do his work and give him glory, then we are pleasing to God's eyes. It doesn't matter who we are, what our titles or positions might be. All that matters is that we are for him. And this way, the kingdom is open. At the same time, Jesus warns the disciples not to steer too much into the openness of the kingdom. You know, in their thirst for recognition and approval, the disciples began to cut corners in their characters, and they allowed sin to creep into their hearts. And Jesus notices this, and he reminds the disciples that while the kingdom is open to everyone, that doesn't mean that the kingdom is allowing of everything. You know, often in our efforts to be this high output, expectation surpassing, reward garnering Christian, we lose the urgency of the battle of sin. Actually, this pursuit in seeking acclaim and seeking recognition, it actually opens up a lot of areas for sin to creep into our hearts. To the disciples, it's as if Jesus is saying, hey, more than the danger of losing your reputation, you should be worried about losing to sin. You know, I'm reminded of our previous chapter, Mark 8, where Jesus tells his disciples, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, but to lose his soul? If we are to be followers of Jesus, we need to remember that the kingdom of heaven, it's not just a free place for people to do what they want and to enjoy grace with no effort. The kingdom is exclusive to those who understand that we must run from sin and do everything we can to be holy like our God is holy. That's why Jesus says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. He wanted the disciples to understand that they need to be the self-denying, sacrificial disciple, that they need to die to themselves every single day if they truly desire the kingdom of heaven. You know, it's no wonder why Jesus stressed this picture of the kingdom to his disciples. This kingdom that was open to all who might love him, but also exclusive to those who hate sin. The disciples had this skewed understanding that somehow by loving Jesus, they could be raised up and feed into their own desires. There was this undertone of sin and selfishness to their devotion. And that's why after they argued so much about who was the greatest and who belonged, Jesus shows them that they were to be humble and sacrificial instead. You know, I hope that for all of us today, we can open up our hearts for God to change our character. know, not just how we outwardly live and serve, but the inner motivations of our hearts as well. I hope that as we go about our day today, that he shows us the ways that we secretly feed into these selfish desires to be special, to be worthy, and to gain from our relationship with him. You know, let's go to him and let's ask for him to help us in this, to help us to see this open kingdom, but also this exclusive kingdom. Let's go to him in prayer. Lord, we confess it's so often that our hearts have the wrong motives. Lord, would you help us as we serve, as we take part in your community, and as we worship you and give you devotion? I pray that that's not tainted by our selfish desires, or by our need to be affirmed, or by this wanting that we have for acclaim or for status or for recognition. Lord, instead, help us to just be humble, to be sacrificial. Lord, would you teach us these things? Would you show us all the ways that we're hiding the sin in our hearts? And instead, may we just humbly approach you and be so willing and ready to do your will, not for our benefit, but so that your kingdom come. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.